chapter number 1, title of the message, The Promise of Life. The Promise of Life. 2 Timothy chapter number 1, you'll find the Apostle Paul writing to the young preacher. And obviously, I can tell from the text that Timothy was going through some hard times here as the young preacher of the gospel. As a matter of fact, he mentions verse number 4, that he had shed some tears over the struggles of life. And so the Apostle Paul here is, he's encouraging, but he's also trying to fire up young Timothy to continue on with the Lord Jesus. And so let's begin verse number 1, 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse number 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, and notice, according to the promise of life which is in Christ Jesus. To Timothy, my beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father, Christ Jesus our Lord. You got those three things, you got all in me. I thank God whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I remember to thee in my prayers night and day. Thank God for somebody that prays for you. Pray for Timothy night and day, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I might be filled with joy when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that's in thee. Timothy was no hypocrite, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois, and thy mother Eunice. Thank God for a godly heritage. Hallelujah. Had a godly grandmother and a mom. Praise the Lord. And persuaded that is in thee also. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on my hand. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but a power of love and sound mind. I don't know here, but it seemed like might be in the context that there's a lot of fear in Timothy. I don't know. Seemed like might have been a lot of persecution going on. He might have been praying. And obviously said some tears over. And he said, verse 8, be not therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor be as prisoner, but be thou a partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. So he's encouraging Timothy. Timothy, this goes hand in hand. This is commonplace. This is a battleground. This is a fight. There's an enemy. And if you're going to preach the gospel, you're going to have afflictions to go with it. But verse number 9, notice what it said, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our words, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. But now is made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Hallelujah. Whereunto I am appointed a preacher, an apostle, and a teacher of the Gentiles. For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I'm not ashamed. For I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the word of God. Thank you, Lord, for the working of the Holy Spirit. Father, how we need thy scripture. We need the word of God. It is our spiritual food. And Father, we grow weak and weary in the folds and throes of life. And Lord, we also have to face the conflicts. The Lord, the battle. Sometimes we have to face them at home, sometimes at work, places we go. Because we love the Lord Jesus, believe the gospel, have a burden for others. And Lord, desiring that people be saved, Lord, many times, Lord, we are persecuted, mocked, laughed at, harassed, and Lord, just have trouble. Many people, Lord, are fighting against us because we just want to go to church, serve God, live for Jesus. And so, Lord, I pray you'd help us today. Feed us, give us that spiritual bread, strengthen and encourage us, Lord. May we renew our commitment to you to live for the Lord Jesus like never before. Lord, these last days, when there's a falling away, help us to be fired up and live closer to Jesus wherever we have been. Lord, I pray you'd help us by the Holy Ghost today. Strengthen us, Lord, encourage, pray for any person here, or whatever scripture you may have. They look unto Jesus today, the author and finisher of our faith. Bless us now, we pray, in the holy word of Jesus' name. Amen. Paul writing here to young Timothy, it's a prison letter. And Paul's trying to encourage him, but he said, that he was a prisoner here, a prisoner of the Lord. He was in jail, as he writing Timothy. And Paul suffered the hardship, the afflictions of the gospel. We know what he endured. But notice here, he shares some things about his commitment. Paul's unrelenting commitment to live for Jesus. No matter what he experienced, no matter how bad he got, no matter how many people had failed, no matter how he faced the enemy, no matter how he was treated, Paul had a commitment that he is going to live and serve God. And if you don't make that commitment, you're not going to make it very long. Notice, first of all, that commitment is based upon something very simple but very profound, the promise of life. We saw that right there in verse number 1. He said, Paul, apostle of Jesus Christ, the Holy God, he didn't choose this, God chose it for me, according to the promise of life. That's the reason. God, Paul didn't make a commitment, they gave him a promise. Isn't that wonderful? You and I rejoice today that we have a calling of God. And, listen, as you and I love him, serve him, being born again, being the children of God, and we have a great calling of God, but at the same time, he made us a great promise. Amen. Hallelujah. And we trust that promise that it's going to be worth it all when we see Jesus. Amen. Amen. And so why do you serve God? Why do you be faithful to church? Why do you read your Bible? Why do you do right? Why do you live right? Why do you say no to this world and the temptations? Why do you keep going forward? Listen, when nobody else will. Listen, because he made me some great promises. And I believe them. And so he said, according to the promise of the Lord. Notice verse number 10, first of all, life eternal. Listen, it's made manifest now in the appearing of our Savior, who abolished death and brought life and immortality to life through the Scriptures. And that is that you and I, through Jesus Christ, through the gospel, through the Word of God, life and immortality has brought to the light out of the darkness. Men have been played down through the generations of time. Philosophers have studied, is there life after the grave? Is there life after death? And what is that like? And we have the same curiosity today and the same philosophy, same thoughts, and people teaching this and teaching that and teaching the other about the possibility. I'm going to tell you all that's in the book. But now you and I, as we look to the Word of God and we look to the promise God has made us, that if we would put our faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he would give eternal life unto us. And so I'm not in the dark about it. Thank God, I know I'm saved and already possess eternal life because the Lord Jesus not only said so, but he made it possible when he died on the cross to pay my sin debt. And so we're not to celebrate as we do every Sunday, but special attention to the resurrection on Easter. How do you listen? Why do you believe Jesus Christ? Because he proved he could do what he said. He said he was possessor of life. How do you listen? How that he came out of that grave. He was dead. He's alive. He conquered death. He came out alive. And so, listen, you and I, we trust in him, believe in him. He proved. A lot of people can say anything, and sometimes we have to say, well, prove it. Okay? Sometimes the vote call will approve something. And they can prove it. You ever been around somebody bragging all the time, and you had an occasion to put them to the test, and boy, they got humbled and hurt. A folk can say anything, you see. But I'm glad today I have the Word of the living God. I'm glad I have the promise of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm glad he showed he has the power of life, and we see it testified. Listen, not only he resurrected, but when he came to the grave of Lazarus, and he said, Lazarus, come forth! He was dead, came hopping out, was alive. Listen, the power of life. And so, listen, he said, the promise of life. My commitment is based upon promise. Promise I'm going to live. And the promise of life eternal. Verse number 12, notice what he says. He said, I'm persuaded that he's able to keep that which I've committed to be at that day. Listen, I circled that day. Hallelujah. That day. What a glorious day. of the day in which the veil is lifted and he will see Jesus Christ face to face, just as you and I will, those of us who are saved born again. And so he was persuaded of a glorious day. And that day will come. And so he's invested himself for that day of great return. And some folks spent their life waiting for the great day when they retire. Because in their mind they have it all so glorious and wonderful. And they're going to do this, this, and this. And often say they didn't plan on being the doctor for them.
All I'm doing was have surgeries.
And they didn't plan on the fact that now that I have money to do something, I don't feel like doing it. And when I was going to travel through this, I'm going to be home.
Yep.
And so we have all these in being home. And I'm going to tell you, there's a great day coming for God's sake.
Amen.
And it's a glorious day. And this is something far greater than it is. We got to take the imagination. But the Bible tells the book of Romans, listen, it hadn't entered the heart of men, the things of God prepared for me. This is greater than anything you could ever vision or imagine, that God has prepared on that great day. And listen, you and I, we have a commitment to the Lord because we believe that day will come to pass. Right now we live by faith. And as we live by faith, listen, sometimes we struggle because we wait patiently for that day. Our faith is tested constantly. Now, because I have the Word of God over here, and then I have the situation certain in my life, and they don't seem to be lining up. You ever thought about that? We think about the scriptures God says. Listen, the grace, the strength, the prayers he's answered, the things he's going to do with that. God loves us. But I look at my situation, and I say, Lord, this thing ain't lining up. I believe the Word of God. I believe, listen, there's power in prayer. I believe there's grace. I believe there's help from the Lord. I believe there's answers. I believe there's hope. I believe God. You love me. Care for me. But Lord, I'm still asking the question, why? And so I got the scripture. I got the principles of the Word of God. I got the promise of the Word of God. And I got my current situation. And they're not lining up. You know what's in the middle? Faith. You know what that faith is? Faith believes they will line up.
Yeah.
They will all come to that point where everything God ever told you comes to pass exactly as he said. Now we know that God gives us many promises that if we live right, do right, we're blessed with the Lord. And listen, that God will take care of us and that God will supply our need. And so, listen, we have those promises, we have those principles, but sometimes my situation, I don't understand. God, if you love me, why, Lord, are these things not lining up the way they seem they should be? That's where faith comes in. Patiently waiting, you know, I'm waiting for that day.
Amen.
When all of it comes to pass and all of it lines up. Are you all with me this morning?
Amen.
It's very practical. It's where we live. That's what faith's all about. God promised Abraham a child, didn't he?
Yep.
And you know what Abraham did? He waited for that day. Man, did he wait for that day. I mean, he looked in the mirror. Little I'm going to be raising a grandchild at this point. They're waiting on that day.
Poor Sarah.
Sarah didn't give up. Said, take on my handmaid. She should have had sense enough, that'd be an absolute disaster.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes.
And Abraham, I fought him even more or something. You should have known better than that foolishness. And that did turn out a disaster, and that's part of why we have a disaster going on in the Middle East.
Exactly. Yeah.
Because the flesh tried to produce the answer to the promise and it never came, it brings a curse. And so, Abraham and Sarah, and finally, this is God, the place where they had a conversation. Abraham said, I ain't able, you ain't able. But still wait for that day. But you know what? That day came.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
That day came. Decades had passed. Their bodies had grown old. And listen, they realized God brought them to the realm of impossibility. Samuel was told of it. Go anoint that shepherd boy and tell him that he was God's choice to be the king of Israel. But not long after that anointing and that great announcement that overwhelmed him, how that who am I, Lord, had listened that God would take this boy and make him the king, overwhelmed by it. But I'm going to tell you, that's when his trouble started. The boy was driven to live in the woods for 2 years, looking over his shoulder, and Saul hunting down like a dog every day.
Yeah.
But you know what? God made him a promise. There's coming a day when you shall receive that crown. That great coronation day, all of Israel will celebrate David, God's king over the nation of Israel, and 2 years he spent out there, listen, trying to survive and trying to avoid the enemy, and listen, discouraged, difficulties, hardship, waiting for the day. But here's the good news. That day came when the trumpet blew, and they brought him in, and anointed him to be king. There was a day, and that day finally came. You know, David struggled, Lord. You anointed me the king, I'm living in the woods. These things ain't lining up, y'all. Yeah, and no doubt Samuel said, and he anointed me. He said, you said, God, God sent you to anoint me to be the future king, Lord. If I'm the future king, why am I living in the woods? Why am I hiding down like a dog? Those things weren't lining up, but you know what? There was a day came. That day came. Paul said, my commitment, he said, I'm persuaded. Listen, that commitment that he's able to keep that which I've committed to him against that day. He said, there's a day coming when I will rejoice for all eternity that I kept my commitment to the Lord to live and serve him. And so he said, I am persuaded that day will come. And listen, I'll rejoice that I did not forsake the Lord, that I did not turn away from the calling, that I did not quit, that I did not give up, that I did not surrender, but I kept on because I'm persuaded that day will come.
Praise the Lord.
I think about Joseph. Joseph was given a dream. That dream shook him. That dream shook his father. That dream shook his brethren because it was a dream from God.
Mm-hmm.
And the boys knew it. That's where they got to the envious and jealous.
Mm-hmm.
If they thought it was much fairy tales, they'd pay no attention. Stupid younger. You can tell by their response to the dream, they were upset because they believed it had credibility and they were trying to undermine it. His father, the Bible says, also his father considered these things too. So this dream was from God. And this is what we know is life. Listen, he went from that, being thrown into the pit, sold into slavery. Mm-hmm. Listen, working as a slave. The next thing you know, he's in prison. He hadn't done anything wrong yet. The man's lived for God since he's a boy. He's desired to walk with faith, to serve God, to honor the God of Abraham, and be part of that royal seed that God's blessing. How, Lord, I have the dream. But if this dream be true, why over here, my circumstances, they're not lining up. But thank God that day came. He was called out of prison. Went and shaved, put on a piece of clothes, took a bath, and went before Pharaoh. And told him God had blessed him with the power and wisdom to interpret dreams. Told Pharaoh exactly everything the dream meant, then told him what to do about it. And Pharaoh said, I need more like that around me.
Mm-hmm.
And they put him second in the nation. Basically turned over the reins of the nation to him. Said whatever he said, do it. And this is how he led them to be saved from a 7-year famine that would devastate the land. But through Joseph and through the leadership God gave him, listen, not only did he save the Egyptians, he saved the Israelites. When his family moved down there and took care of them, made sure they were fed. By the miracle of God, that day came.
Amen.
And so this is what it is to live by faith. Paul said to young Timothy, I realize right now that the circumstances you're in and the promises and the principles you live by, they're not really meeting up and lining up at this moment. But you keep waiting and trusting God, and there will come a day. That day will come when they come together. They'll all align, when all the truth is revealed, and all the promises shall be fulfilled. And there's come a day, child of God, when we shall see them face to face, and the veil shall be lifted. And there will come a day we get to personally thank our Savior for dying for us, and we'll see all the glories and wonders God has in store. And so, listen, hold fast to your commitment.
Amen.
And be patiently waiting by faith for the alignment of the Word of God and your circumstances. The promises of God and your situation, one day they will meet together on that day. And so there have been days in your life when God showed up. There have been times, no doubt, if you look for the Lord, there have been times you're in crisis. Man, you went to pray, and you went to pray, and you went to pray. And I don't know how we're going to make it. How we're going to survive. How we're going to get through this situation that's killing me. How would you pray and pray and pray? And listen, but then one day, that day showed up, that day came. And listen, God revealed His glory to you.
Amen.
Oh, listen, thank God. We still experience those days. But when God reveals Himself, there are many times, as Ron and I have gone over our history, and we stopped one time just to count the times that God just showed up. Absolutely just showed up.
Yep.
And listen, we prayed. Sometimes we go along for a year, and Lord, just God, help us, Lord, pray and please, God. We don't see how we're going to know how what's going to happen, Lord, how we're going to get through this. But listen, God showed up, and that great day came. And so you and I, as we live by faith, to trust in the Lord. All this of Paul's commitment was based on the promise of life. Mm-hmm. But you know, that life was promised of not just an eternal life or everlasting life. It's the present abundant life. Jesus told us a principle that if we were to lose our life for His sake, we'd find it.
Mm-hmm.
That seems like a paradox. Hard to mesh those two together. Or if I just surrender to You and live for You, that I'll not lose, but I'll actually find it. That I'll not lose, but I'll actually gain it. And sometimes we don't see how those things line up. But as we trust and live for God and then come to Him, and we keep walking with the Lord, we find out that's exactly what will take place. The Word of God always comes to pass. It's always true. It will never fail you. Listen, thank God we can stand upon it and trust and know that's exactly what God will do. Jesus said, I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. And so, look at verse 29. Paul said, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace. Thank God your life has a purpose and a meaning. That means your life is precious in the sight of God. And means that God cares for you, that God delivered you, God saved you, God has blessed you, God's given you your life. But God wants to make something out of your life worth living for. God wants to redeem your life from just having been lived in a material world and material treasures that all is going to perish and pass away. And at the end of your days, you've got nothing to show for it. God's trying to redeem your life. God has a desire to use you. God has a desire to make your life a vessel of honor. Paul writes about that to the church at Thessalonica. A vessel of honor. A life that has continual impact. A life that continues like ripples on a pond will continue to grandfather, Chess Flanders, the Circuit Rider Methodist preacher, probably did not really fully realize what his prayers would do in impacting generations to come. You don't know, listen, as you live for God and serve Him, and as the Spirit of God uses your life, put words in your mouth, people in your face. Listen, you have no idea. Listen, when God used your life, what an impact you had that, like ripples on the pond, continued. And the Bible said in Revelation that those who live for God and live by faith, their works do follow them. That is, He will continue to have a ripple effect all the way into eternity. And we don't know how God may use these things, just simple things. Sometimes it was just a cup of water in the name of Jesus. You have no idea how far that may ripple, don't you? Just a simple word of compassion you had for somebody, and a sincere, heartfelt commitment to pray for you. I'll pray for you. You have no idea how far that may go, and how the Holy Ghost leads. You see, the Lord is trying to redeem your life from vanity, from waste, from ruin, from nothing. And He says, my commitment, young Timothy, is the promise of life. Not only life that goes on forever, but a life that has purpose. A life that has meaning. A life that will stand up. A life that will have an impact. A life of influence. A life that brings help and blessing and wonders to others. Thank God for the lives of people who are invested to help us in the physical realm. Thank God for those who invented how the antibiotic. I thought about it one day. If we didn't have the modern invention of antibiotics, most of us would die in our 50s. Yeah. Thank God for those people and their lingering, lasting influence. But I want to tell you, when God's calling, God's purpose in your life has an eternal impact. It's for everything. Won't it be interesting in heaven to find out that as we on earth face our family tree here, where you might have done your history, done your family tree. Yes, you people. Y'all not very interested in part of it. Bunch of horse brothers gonna pass on the road. But anyway, you've done your family tree, mine pretty. You've done the thing. Now, if you're John Smith, I don't blame you. I don't think I didn't start that there. But anyway, this will be wonderful in heaven when we get to trace back what eventually led to your salvation. Mm-hmm. How far that went. I think about my grandmother, and I think about her and her father. And I think about her granddad. And who led Chess Flanders? Somebody led that preacher to the Lord. And who led the man that led my grandfather, the great grandfather? And what was it they said? What did they do? Was it somebody who just met him one day when the Model T broke down? Took care of the horse on the road into town. Maybe it was a little preacher out in the country church right outside of town. I don't know. But you see, it just continues on. And so he said, listen, Timothy, I have a commitment to the Lord. I'm persuaded. I'm looking for that way. Now listen, not only because of the promise of life that's everlasting, but the promise of a life that is abundant. A liberty. Notice this, my title reading, but notice he said, but according to his own purpose and grace. Here's the good part. God has a purpose for your life, and then he's going to give you the power and grace. He's going to take care of the gifts, the abilities, the power, the sound mind. He's going to give you all the resources you need to complete his purpose. Can't beat that. Because we all feel like we said, Lord, I'm just nothing special, Lord. I don't know enough, Lord. I don't have enough gifts. I don't have enough talent. I don't have enough abilities. Hey, listen, just make your commitment to God, and God will take care of everything you need to fulfill His purpose.
He did that through the Bible.
It's often nice when we buy something to put together, and everything, even the tools, are included.
And instructions.
And instructions, if you follow the reading.
Yep. Yes. That's my job.
If you don't read them, you have to take it apart and go back and redo what you should have done. Mom's over shaking her head. So we have a package deal now. She reads instructions, I do the work.
I just give it to Dee.
That's pretty consistent. What I'm bringing to them. You read the instructions, I do the work. Isn't it wonderful? God said, listen, here's what I want you to do. I'm going to give you everything you'll ever need.
Mm-hmm.
That's the purpose.
You do that. I want.
You can fulfill God's purpose for your life. God sees to it. You have all the benefits, resources, gifts, talents, strength, power. And at least you've got everything you need to fulfill His purpose. Paul said, young Timothy, I know you're discouraged. His eyes were left in tears. It seemed like he must have been frightened. Going through hardship, because of affliction. Paul said, let me tell you something. I am fully persuaded, fully persuaded, that day is coming when it truly will be worked over. When every promise and every principle binds, joins hands, and meets together with my current situation. One day, or a week two, that day will come.
Amen.
He said, I'm persuaded. Don't quit. Don't fall by the wayside. Don't be one who falls away. Be one who's fully committed, fully persuaded.